I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Beautiful, beautiful Independence Day weekend. So honored to be here joining you today in this celebration of this such important day, such an important holiday, rather. I am in Findlay, Ohio, where I delivered yesterday an independence lesson to the people of Findlay, Ohio, much to the chagrin of the city council, the county commission, and the Chamber of Commerce. It's an interesting story behind that, actually. So I was invited to come and teach at this 4th of July event, and they had a big parade, and then after the parade, reenactment, they had people dressed up in 1776 style clothes, that sort of thing. I met George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, you know, I met Abigail Adams, I mean, the whole clan. It was just really, really awesome, a whole lot of fun. Well, in the planning of this event, one of the coordinators, his name is Don, said, well, we're going to have Chris Ann Hall speak. And the Chamber of Commerce said, no, Chris Ann Hall cannot come speak here. Don's like, what? What do you mean Chris Ann Hall can't come speak here? No, we don't want her speaking here. The county commission said, no, we're not going to have Chris Ann Hall speaking at this event. You cannot have Chris Ann Hall speaking in Findlay, Ohio. Wow. Welcome to a fundamentally transformed America. The Chamber of Commerce and the City Council of Findlay in Ohio does not want me teaching the people of Findlay. Well, that's what happens when you teach the truth, right? Because teaching the truth is controversial. I am radical in my thinking on the Constitution. You know what? Liberty and truth are only radical to two kinds of people. Tyrants and slaves. Maybe the Chamber of Commerce, the city councilman and the county commission of Findlay should classify themselves. Because you got to do better than that to shut me up. By the way, Don said, no, you're wrong. Chris Ann will speak here whether you like it or not. And apparently I did. It was very fun because we were set up in front of the courthouse in the county. And I was speaking with the speakers directed at the city council building. I just thought that was awesome. I mean, I'm sure they weren't there, but nonetheless, it was still a whole lot of fun. And you know, I taught the history of our independence movement, how we came to the understanding that we should be independent freemen in a republic and not subjects to a king. And it was, you know, I had to not get by that entire presentation without throwing a couple shots across the bow to the city council and to the county commissioners and the Chamber of Commerce. Imagine that. Chris Ann Hall is now the enemy of the Chamber of Commerce. I thought I'd hit them big time when the Southern Poverty Law Center said that I was an enemy of Obama. I mean, I thought that was the height of all heights. But now I'm even an enemy on local levels. County commission, city councilmen, and chambers of commerce don't want me to teach their people. Of course not. Because they don't want, government doesn't want people to know about liberty. Government, there is no way government wants the people to actually realize how much power people have and how little power government is supposed to have. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that when any government, any form of government, whether that be your city council, your county commission, your state, your homeowners association, When any form of government operates contrary to those means, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish them. It is time for us, America, to establish a new tradition in this Independence holiday. How about we establish a tradition of independence on this Independence holiday? I would really, really enjoy that. Independence through truth and not through revision. We are now teaching our kids that our independence from Great Britain was an accident done by a bunch of rich, slave-owning white guys who wanted to avoid paying their fair share of taxes and overthrow one government so that they could be the government that would oppress and collect money from everybody else. Seriously, that is what we're teaching in the books. And that somehow, through this action of selfishness, this action of greed and tyranny, we accidentally created America, which created the constitutional republic that we are today. It's when all a cosmic accident. Well, when we think we ourselves a cosmic accident, how could we also not believe that the very liberty and independence that we enjoy are cosmic accidents? No, I'm sorry. It does not work that way. The price of liberty is still the same. And the elements, the essential elements of maintaining liberty have not changed either. Samuel Adams said no people, 27 different Samuel Adams, 27 different Samuel Adams quotes running through my head right now. Which one? Accessing, processing, right? Which one do we want now? No people will tamely surrender their liberties when knowledge is diffused and liberty and virtue preserved. But to the contrary, when a people become universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink underneath their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. And this is something that we need to really, really comprehend. That our enemy to liberty today is our own ignorance. And that being ignorant and being lazy in our luxury and pacified in our prosperity are our biggest threats to liberty today. John Philpott Curran said in 1790, "It is the common fate of the indolent to see their liberty stolen by the acted. The condition upon which God grants liberty to man is eternal vigilance, and if that condition is broken, servitude is his punishment and the immediate indication of his guilt." We need to understand that we have to be eternally vigilant and remain educated on the truth about liberty and the truth of the formation of America, not an accident, but a purposeful act that had been engineered over centuries of time-tested blood bought lessons, creating timeless principles. We are not an accident. We were established on purpose to be a constitutional republic, and it's about time we restore that education. We restore that information so that we can become eternally vigilant to this eternal gift of liberty. So how about today we start a brand new tradition of liberty? We start a brand new tradition on the 4th of July weekend, which, by the way, everybody has the 4th of July. We have Independence Day. That's one thing that if I could be ruler of the universe for a day, we would remove all of these things that say celebrate 4th of July. No. You know what? China has 4th of July. How about we celebrate independence? And so we have a constant reminder in the name of our celebration as to what it really is all about. And the truth about all of this is that it comes from history. It comes from lessons learned. Our framers did not wake up one day and decide we shouldn't be subjects to a king anymore. We should be subjects to a federal government. I mean, really, that's how we operate, isn't it? Oh, we threw off the bonds and chains of the British Empire only to become chained and bound by a federal government in Washington, D.C. Why? Because we celebrate the 4th of July and nothing to do with independence. This lesson of independence was something that our framers learned the hard way. How many of you ever learned any really valuable lesson the easy way? 700 years they'd been governed by kings. 700 years of being subjects and doing the same thing over and over again. in 1100, battling with the King Henry, getting the 1100 Charter of Liberties, Henry promising that government would never be evil and oppressive anymore, only 100 years later to get John, who was the most evil and oppressive king the Anglo-Saxons would ever know, murdering people for not paying their taxes. And so they rebel against John now, creating the Magna Carta and creating a limited monarchy in which the government was limited by the people through representation. No legislation without representation is what established in the Magna Carta. Our 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th amendments to the Bill of Rights come from clauses 38 through 40 in the Magna Carta. Our final clause of the First Amendment, the right of the people to petition the government for a redress of their grievances, comes from clause 61 in the Magna Carta. This amazing document coming from a battle with a king who was an evil and oppressive one, controlling the churches, taxing out of control, and then murdering people and taking their property for refusing to pay their taxes or being unable to pay their taxes. So now we have two documents, two promises from kings. And then we have to do it again in 1628 with the Petition of Right of 1628, Charles I. Massive spending king, gets sick and tired of his wasteful spending of the people's money, and we rebel. Because not only that, he's denying people of their due process, indefinitely detaining them without any court dates, based on accusations and not charges, throwing people in prison, denying them due process, and dissolving government. Yeah, he said, no, we don't need any parliament. We don't need any representation of the people. I'm king. We'll just ignore them because they're irrelevant and impotent. And then they didn't act like it, like our Congress does today. But we let Charles remain king. And so 20 years later, we're back at it with Charles. This time we chop off his head with the Grand Remonstrance of 1641. The root of all this mischief we find to be a malignant and pernicious design of subverting the fundamental laws and liberties of our kingdom. Hey, we recognized in 1641 that there's a pattern to tyranny, that evil and oppressive government always does the same thing in the same ways over and over again, and their only purpose with this evil bag of tricks is to undermine and overturn the liberty of the people.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So we're learning about independence today on this Independence Day weekend, trying to establish a new tradition, gather the youngins around the radio or on the cell phone, around the Siri. Gather around, young and old. Let's learn about liberty. Learn about the independence that our framers held so dear that they were willing to pledge their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor so that we could have liberty here. That's what they did for us, for you and me. Not for themselves. They said for ages and millions yet unborn is what they were doing. And in 1641 they learned a valuable lesson. That there is a design to evil and oppressive government. There is a design that government always uses, a wicked evil plan whose only purpose is to overturn and undermine liberty. In 1641, they identified this plan as, hey, are you ready for this? Because it won't sound familiar, sarcasm. Corruption of the court system. Infiltration of foreign law. Diminishing the property rights of the people. Government taking rule over the church, telling the churches what they can and cannot do, what they can and cannot say. The government creating fiat money so they can control the monetary system and control the people. The government disarming the people while the government remained armed. That was 1641, not 1941 America. A lesson in history we'd do well to learn and understand. Those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat its mistakes. And that's exactly what we're doing. Well, we chopped off Charles' head over that sort of thing, and it's only, what, let's see, that's 1648, 1688, 40 years. We have a brand new King James II in the same old design. James II's going to take control of the church. In disguise, he's telling, I'm going to give you religious liberty through my decree, something you've never had before. Only his religious decree says, you no longer have to be members of the Church of England. The government will not prosecute you for these things. So instead, before you have church, because you can preach anything you want, any time you want, any place you want, with any pastor you want. But before you have church, you must inform the king where you'll be meeting, what you'll be teaching, who will be teaching, and where you'll be teaching. And you must promise that you will never, ever say anything bad about the king in church. Oops! I'm hearing echoes of a 501c3! Because there is no Brave New World. We got to get our head out of the sand and try to figure out how to fix this mess. This is the same mess that's existed for centuries. The same mess just simply repeating like a broken record. Because we fail to know history and we keep repeating all the bad stuff. We need to learn this history so we can repeat the good stuff. The good stuff that put the end to kings and brought people free. Republics, where governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. And when any government operates contrary to those means, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish them. So our framers didn't invent liberty. And we didn't invent tyranny. It was a lesson hard learned, because they took a sword to James II in 1689, giving us the fifth document in our genealogy, the English Bill of Rights of 1689. This English Bill of Rights of 1689 says, whereas the late King James II, with the assistance of evil judges, counselors, and ministers employed by him, did endeavor to subvert and extirpate the laws and liberties of our kingdom. Hey, listen up. We didn't invent tyranny. We didn't invent liberty. And we didn't even invent our style of government. In 1688, they said that James II was completely destroying liberty by writing law, overturning law, and setting aside law when that was a power reserved to Parliament alone. In 1688, they had separation of powers, executive branch and the king, legislative branch and Parliament, and a judicial branch. And even back then, separation of powers says powers can't be shared and they cannot be stolen. And they said when the executive branch is writing law, overturning law, and setting aside law, when that's a power reserved to the legislative branch alone, the only result will always be the complete destruction of liberty. How is it that they knew that? They had no internet. They had no cell phones. They had no MSNBC, CNN, or Fox. But in 1689, their parliament, their legislative branch, took the sword to the king. And today, our legislative branch, our Congress, gives our king money. It's about time we get fed up with kings and kingdoms again.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Establishing new traditions in liberty. I love it. I love it. I love it. I hope that this will be a message that will be replayed over and over and over again. A little lesson in liberty, a little lesson in the formation of America, something that our government schools will not teach, cannot teach. Must refuse to teach. Think about this with clear and logical brains for just one second. How can we expect, in any reasonable world, for a government to willingly teach its people that government is limited and that the limiting power of the government comes from the people. That government only exists under the consent of the people, and that when any government operates, any form of government operates contrary to those means, it is the right and the duty of the people to alter or abolish it. You will not get that education in a government school. It is unreasonable to think that a government school would voluntarily teach that, because it would be teaching its own demise. A government school would teach that, would expand liberty and decrease government. It can't happen that way. So this teaching must take place in the home. I'm just excited to be able to bring this to you. I know we talked about this on Friday, but I think that this is such an important lesson that we need to bring it home again. So I'm bringing it to you just in a little different fashion. Because you see, our independence was not about taxes. Our independence was not about tea. Our independence was about liberty. About a British government denying the people their right to have legislation, their right to have representation through legislation, and the government denying them the rights of Englishmen, creating laws without giving them any representation in Parliament, and then telling them to shut up and be happy with what they had. Parliament saying, of course you have representation. Oh, we know you didn't send anybody, elected anybody, but guess what? We have people in Parliament who have volunteered to represent your interests. Guess what? They don't represent you when they are not elected by you, and when they're not accountable to the people. The colonists said, hey, if they're over there on the island creating laws to be enforced over here on our continent, and they never have to come over here and live under those laws, then they don't represent us. Because you see, when the people who, hey, this is a lesson we need to learn. Listen up your ears, perk up your pencils, and let's get to writing. When the people who make the laws exempt themselves from the enforcement of those laws, those people do not represent you. They only represent themselves and their own personal interests. And that is legislation without representation, America. And that's what Americans are suffering from. Why? Because when you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat its mistakes. Not only that, they taxed linen, lumber, sugar, tea, paper, and ink. Then they got this brilliant idea. We can maximize our revenue from these taxes by mandating that the colonists purchase the taxed items. And we will raid their homes with warrantless searches to ensure that they're buying the mandated products. And if they refuse to buy the mandated products, we will arrest them, we will throw them into prison, and they will transport them to Quebec to be tried for these pretended crimes, our framers would call them. Why Quebec? Quebec was a British colony. What's wrong with that? Well, Quebec had successfully petitioned Britain to keep French law within their borders, and French law doesn't guarantee its people the right to a trial by jury of their peers. That was unique to Great Britain. So why did the tea go in the harbor? It wasn't taxes. As a matter of fact, the taxes had been reduced and even eliminated in some cases by the time we threw tea in the harbor. We threw tea in the harbor because of legislation without representation, warrantless searches, mandated purchases, denial of due process, and foreign courts and foreign law. It was the East India Trading Company tea that went into the harbor that day, because it was the East India Trading Company tea that was the government-mandated tea. And by the way, it wasn't looting and rioting like we saw in Ferguson or Baltimore. As a matter of fact, John Hancock and a large number of the colonists got together and paid back the East India Trading Company tea for all the product that they lost. It was about petitioning the government for a redress of their grievances in a way that they may finally hear us. See, we had petitioned the government. We had begged. We had pleaded. Patrick Henry said in his speech these words. He says, I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know no way of judging the future but by the past. And by judging by the past, I wish to know what there has been in the conduct of the British ministry in the last 10 years to justify those hopes with which gentlemen have been so pleased to solace themselves. And the House, Is it that insidious smile which our petition has been lately received? Trust it not, sir. It will prove a snare to your feet. Suffer not yourselves to be betrayed by a kiss. He says, has Great Britain any enemy in this quarter of the world to call for this accumulation of navies and armies? No, sir, she has none. They are meant for us, and they can be meant for no other. He says, we have held the subject up in every light which is capable, but it has all been in vain. Shall we resort to entreaty and humble supplication? What terms shall we find which we have not already been exhausted? Let us not, I beseech you, sir, deceive ourselves. We have done everything that could be done to avert the storm which is now coming. We have petitioned, we have remonstrated, we have supplicated, we have prostrated ourselves before the throne and have implored its interposition to arrest the tyrannical hands of the ministry and parliament. Our petitions have been slighted, our remonstrances have been produced additional violence and insult, our supplications have been disregarded, and we have been spurned with contempt from the foot of the throne. In vain, after these things, may we indulge in the fond hope of peace and reconciliation. See, they had done everything that they could possibly do to peacefully get the attention of their government. And this Boston Tea Party was simply them saying in a loud and clear voice, we will not be subjects to mandated purchases. We will no longer tolerate these warrantless searches. We will not be indefinitely detained, and we will not be subject to foreign law. And you will give us representation. You will hear our voice because we will no longer submit. How long will we continue to throw ourselves prostrate before our government, before we realize that we need a louder, clearer voice than simply writing letters and voting? Voting doesn't work because we've been brainwashed into a party system, so we have to vote the lesser of two evils. We need to realize that we had a group of people birthed in the principles of liberty, raised in the understanding of limited government, and that all the power belonged to the people. And who do we have to be responsible for that? A few good men and a few good women. The women holding the second Tea Party meeting just 10 months after the Sons of Liberty threw tea in the harbor, led by Penelope Barker. Over 55 women in Edenton, North Carolina, meeting in the home of Elizabeth King, taking a pledge and saying, we will no longer submit and we will not comply. We will purchase no English-made goods until the laws that have enslaved our people are repealed. These women calling mandated purchases slavery and then doing something very bold and very brave. Mercy said, we will sign our names to this document, not hiding ourselves behind costumes like the men in Boston did at their tea party. The British will know who we are. You see, she was calling out the men for being cowards, hiding behind costumes and saying, no, we women are bolder, we women are braver, and we will not hide behind costumes. We will send our names to the government and tell them boldly that your taxes and your mandated purchases are slavery and we will not comply. But you had to know that those women bore the names of men who worked for the English government. Many of them were English merchants, declaring they would purchase no English-made goods and then sending over the names of English merchants. You had to know that those men would not keep their jobs, but even more, those women had to know that they and everyone in their family who bore that name would actually be charged with treason, and they would be shot on sight. But those women, boldly, loudly proclaiming, creating a protest that would sweep a boycott that would sweep through the colonies and practically disable the entire British linen industry in the American colonies, simply saying liberty is worth more than a paycheck and worth more than the lives of the men who would bring it home. A British soldier speaking to a British general one day, the annals of history proclaim, the soldier said to the general, "We may do well to eliminate all of these American men who oppose us, but then we will have the women to deal with. Because in spite of what our historical revisionists and our feminazis want us to believe, our women were brave, bold, and essential to the formation of our liberty and the formation of our constitutional republic. And we owe them our very best." Do we even... how many of you know Penelope Barker? Mercy Otis Warren, the first American woman playwright. You know what her plays were? They were Shakespearean-style plays written in satire to poke fun at the British government and raise awareness of the end and following for the liberty movement. She was the first American woman historian. She wrote a 3-volume set called The Rise, Progress, and Termination of the American Revolution. She said, "I have to write this history because I lived it." How many of our sons and daughters are learning of these women in schools? But instead, we have to publish the propaganda of Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood. Hey, it's about time we wake up and take back our children, America.
Don't censor my voice. Hate me if you want, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stay on my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So as we're learning and remembering, how about we remember our brothers and sisters who sacrificed and continue to sacrifice so that we can have liberty, remembering those who history denies their due glory. How many of us know that the first man to die in our independence movement was a black man named Crispus Attucks? Crispus Attucks was a freed slave who'd become a whaler for the merchant marines. His ship was docked in the Boston Harbor. He heard an alarm go off on his ship, ran up deck to put out the fire only to find out there was no fire, but that his own people, his own government, had picked up arms against his own people. Crispus Attucks then ran back below deck, got 55 of his shipmates, came out and gave his life so that you and I could be free. Honor, there was a poem written about Crispus Attucks in his day by a man named John Boyle O'Reilly. Honor to Crispus Attucks, who was leader and voice that day. The first to defy and the first to die with Maverick, Carr, and Gray. Call it riot or revolution, his hand first clenched at the crown. His feet were the first in perilous place to pull the king's flag down. His breast won, was the first one rent apart that liberty's stream might flow for our freedom now and forever. His head was first laid low. Call it riot or revolution or mob or crowd as you may. Such deaths have been seed of nations. Such lives shall be honored for a... We don't teach about Crispus Attucks in school. No, we teach a lie. We say, oh, well, that's those right-wing zealots who want to change history and talk about Crispus Attucks, and he wasn't... That was the Boston Massacre, and he wasn't even there, and that was a bunch of drunk guys coming out of a saloon, and the government was simply trying to keep a bunch of drunkards under control. That's what they teach about the Boston Massacre today. Only the men who lived it taught quite differently. Do you know why the Boston Massacre occurred? Go look it up. It was because a bunch of colonial boys, young boys, threw snowballs at British regulars, and it created such a scene that the government would give those British regulars permission to open fire because some boys threw snowballs at them. Ned Hector, who was a freed slave and fought in the battles of Brandywine in Germantown. When his military unit was being defeated and the order of retreat was given, he refused to retreat. He said, "The enemy shall not have my team. I will save the horses or perish myself." History is full of brave men like these. There were battalions of free slaves who fought for our liberty in the Revolutionary War. George Middleton, Peter Salem, all of these people. And we don't even know their names, and we ought to be ashamed. Because you know what? There were provisions within the states that said if you're a slave and you want to fight for liberty, you are now a free man forever. That was before the Emancipation Proclamation, by the way. Our colonial forefathers were making men free. But we should be ashamed of ourselves today, because we don't even know who they are. There are some men who gave their only free breath so that we could be free. And we don't even honor them on Independence Day weekend. These women, these men, made us a constitutional republic. Why? Because they got tired of fighting with kings. You know what they realized? That kings only keep promises as long as you hold the sword to your throats. It's about time that we wake up. Hey, January of last year, Barack Obama gave a speech regarding the National Security Agency delayed data collection programs and said that they were just like the Sons of Liberty. We are teaching this error in our schools, and we are brainwashing our children into being in submission to a federal kingdom. It is time, American parents, that we save our children from servitude and learn a little bit of truth on our own along the way. Because as long as we remain ignorant, we will remain slaves. And truth will be radical, and we will be oppressed, and we will be happy little subjects raising happy little subject children. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of it, America. And on this holiday, let's give some respect to those who gave everything for us. Are we better than them? No, we have a greater debt. Because they gave us a republic and not a kingdom and told us to keep it. It's time to step up and live up to our obligations. God bless. See you tomorrow.